Lord Father, we come together again to you for prayer. And we just want to lift up Jake to you as he delivers a message today, Lord. No doubt it will be inspired by your Holy Spirit. We ask for this, Lord, in the holy and precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Our massive crowd we have this morning here. Whether it's few or many, God's with us. Karis's introduction to worship this morning has a lot of similarities with what I'm going to talk about. I thought I'd talk about Peter, the Apostle Peter, probably the most well-known apostle after Paul, of all Jesus' early followers. Peter and his brother Andrew were the first disciples Jesus called. They were fishermen from Galilee. Jesus saw them along the Sea of Galilee and said, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Without hesitation, the word says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Peter had a few aliases, Simon, Cephas. His name means rock. He was married, but we know little about his wife. He was often considered impulsive, brash, sometimes speaking without thinking it through. But Jesus always had a way of gently bringing him back in line. Remember when he wanted to walk on the water with Jesus, but his fear caused him to sink and Jesus had to rescue him. Peter was criticized for his lack of faith, but all things considered, he was the only one to get out of the boat. He also got an earful from Jesus when he tried to stop him from washing his feet. Jesus told him, "Get behind me, Satan," because Jesus was pretty upset about that. Again, he was rebuked by Jesus when they arrested him, and Peter cut off Malchus's ear. Remember, Malchus was one of the Sanhedrin's servants, and Jesus instantly healed his ear. But probably the most criticism Peter gets is over the denying Jesus three times after boasting he would never disown Jesus. After Jesus was arrested, the word says all his disciples deserted him. It's interesting that Peter is noted for denying Jesus, but was the only one who followed Jesus to the high priest's house. Matthew 26:58, but Peter followed Jesus at a distance, right up to the courtyard of the high priest. Criticized for denying, but like his attempt to walk on the water, he was the only one to follow Jesus into the stormy sea and to Jesus' arrest. After his denial, Peter hit an all-time low. The word says he began to call curses down on himself during the third denial, just as the rooster crowed. Then he went outside and wept bitterly. In John 21:3, Peter told the other disciples, "I'm going out to fish." Peter had become so discouraged that he went back to his old line of work, fishing. But on that same fishing trip, Peter's grief turned to joy. Jesus appeared on the shore and told Peter and the others to throw their net on the right side of the boat. When Peter heard Jesus' voice, he became so excited, he jumped into the water. The disciples who were still fishing caught so many fish that the nets began to tear. Peter, so exciting, so full of adrenaline, seeing Jesus, pulled the net ashore with a catch of 153 fish. Jesus was teaching the disciples, always teaching them, as well as us, an important lesson. If you cast your net in the right spot, you'll secure an abundant catch and make us fishers of men. Jesus now reinstates Peter three times to nullify his three denials. Jesus' prophetic words when he first met Peter now were fulfilled. "I will make you fishers of men." In Acts, we see the new improved Peter, a leader of the church. His brash impulsiveness soon turns to holy boldness after the baptism of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Right after Pentecost, he makes his famous address to the multitudes of people in Jerusalem, mostly Gentiles. They had started with 120 in the upper room before Pentecost, and now the church grew to 3,000 and counting. In Acts chapter 3, Peter heals the beggar at the temple, which first healing that he was involved in that we know of. In Acts 4, Peter and John were arrested for proclaiming the gospel. The Sanhedrin, the Jewish council, commanded them not to teach about Jesus. But Peter and John replied, "Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking what we have seen or heard." The church now grew to 5,000. Acts 5 tells how the apostles healed many people as well. Acts 5:15 says, "As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid on mats, so at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by." Peter, a lowly fisherman, was now a miracle worker. As a result, the church kept growing in leaps and bounds. Acts chapter 10 tells the story of how Peter was called in a vision to go to Cornelius' home. Cornelius was a Gentile Roman centurion. It was against Jewish law to associate with any Gentile. Peter obeyed God rather than Jewish law. As a result, Cornelius and his whole household were saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. This was very significant for the early church. The early Jewish Christians had failed to understand that the gospel was for everyone, not just the Jews. As a result of Peter's visit to Cornelius, this opened up a whole new ministry for Barnabas and Paul to the Gentiles. The gospel now spread throughout the whole Roman Empire. Acts 12 tells us how Peter miraculously escaped from prison. King Herod had increased his persecution of the church. James, the brother of John, had been put to death, and Peter was arrested. Acts 12:5, Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him as a result of praying. As a result, God sent an angel. Peter's chains fell off, the prison doors opened, he was set free. Just one example how God hears our prayers and answers them. When we pray earnestly and don't give up, think about that scripture in James 5. The fervent, effectual prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And also says we are just like Elijah. We're just normal people. And how if we earnestly pray and don't give up, our prayers are answered as well. Like a lot of our stories, the story of Peter is one of redemption. Jesus took a rough, uneducated fisherman and turned him into a powerful leader of the early church. Jesus saw something special in Peter when he called him. Remember, Peter and his brother left their nets and followed him, no questions asked. Jesus called and they answered. Just a reminder of when Samuel was anointing David to be the next king of Israel back in Samuel 16:7. Reminds us that God doesn't look at the outward appearance that a man looks at. God looks at our hearts. He saw something special in Peter. Jesus had something special going on, like the transfiguration, he always took the big three, Peter, James, and John. Galatians 2:9 says that these three were the pillars of the early church. Sometime Peter wrote 1 and 2 Peter, his contribution to the Bible. According to church tradition, Peter was crucified upside down in approximately 64 A.D. I'm just going to read from the Green Hymnal, page 286, just a little bit. It's based on the song, "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?" And just the top paragraph. "If we had been Jews, would we have spoken out for him when the Sanhedrin accused him of blasphemy? If we had been Gentiles, would we have defended him when the Romans condemned him to death? If we had been disciples, would we have stayed with him when the crowd became a crucifying mob? Or would we have been like Peter, who followed him and loved him and denied him three times before the dawn?" There are five things we can take away from Peter's story. Number one, when Jesus calls, we have to answer without hesitation. Number two, have a close connection with God. This close connection helped Peter fulfill his destiny and build a relationship with God, and will do the same for us. God can use anyone. Number three, when he called his disciples, he wasn't looking for highly qualified people like the chief priests, elders, or kings. He was looking for people like you and me. Number four, be diligent and hardworking. Peter was a businessman, a hardworking fisherman, and a fisher of men. God wants us to be hardworking in our kingdom assignments. We all have our earthly daily jobs, but God's more concerned about our kingdom assignments, what he's called us to do. Number five, believe Jesus is the Son of God. In Acts 16, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say I am?" Peter was given the spiritual insight and courage to speak up. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We need that spiritual insight and courage to speak up as well. I wonder what I would have done if I was in Peter's shoes. Would I have denied Jesus as well? Even now, when I choose to do what is wrong over what is right, am I actually denying Jesus? Maybe some of us can see a similarity between our lives and Peter's. Psalms 113 says, "He raises the poor from the dust," talking about us, "lifts the needy from the ash heap, and seats us with the princes of his people." As Kara said, we are not normal. The old man is gone. We are Christ's ambassadors through his reconciliation. We're his representatives. God used the story of Peter to teach us how we can be transformed. God has picked each one of us and placed our feet upon the rock. That's all I got. Any questions or comments? Brother Dan, Eloise.
It was wonderful. I just appreciated how you strung together his whole life for us all the way through the letters and so forth. And I happen to have been reading in Acts, and in the early part of Acts, and I can't remember who he was with, but you know, they were preaching and healing in the temples. So the Jewish authorities, called them in and said, "Don't do that." So they went back out and did it again. So then they threw him in prison. And then they decided to let him out of prison and said, "But don't you preach in Jesus' name." So they went straight to the temple and started preaching in Jesus' name. They had a boldness.
Yeah.
And that was very admirable.
When you think about Peter, how that transformation from that fear, that early fear of he stepped out in the water, and when he denied Jesus and the different things he did. But, God turned his life around just like he does for each one of us.
Yeah, like you're saying, Brother Jake, God doesn't call the qualified.
Yeah, there you go.
He qualifies the call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
We watch The Chosen, and if you watch it, you notice, like, Peter is the good-looking, really good-looking disciple of Jesus's. And it was interesting because I had a conversation with a friend who, deep Christian woman, and we were talking about The Chosen, and she pointed this out to me, how she's like, "Did you notice that, like, Peter is a really good looking disciple?" And like she said, you see all the faults and how they are played out, but yet, now we're into season 5 and we're coming into the season 4 ended with they were getting ready for like the Last Supper.
Right.
And, all these things that have happened in Peter's life, how he has failed in so many ways, but he just continues to come back to God and just calling us back to God constantly when we fall down.
Mm-hmm.
Just go back to God.
Takes our failures and turns them into triumphs.
Absolutely.
Amen. I was thinking too, I didn't mention it, but later on, after Peter's has all these miracles and all these great things happen to him, he still slips up. And he said when Paul had to rebuke him because he went back to the old ways of listening to the circumcised group, the Jews, who said all the Gentiles had to be circumcised. And, he wouldn't associate with the Gentiles. And Paul had to rebuke him. Still, Peter you know, Peter recovered from that as well and straightened out again, you know. But sometimes we, even though we're born again, saved, and we still slip up. In Proverbs it says, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he will rise again.
Yeah, I was going to say, Peter was a great example. Say he makes all these mistakes, and Jesus still, you know, he's still an example of what a disciple of Christ is. And it says that can be us too. We will make mistakes again and again and again. We can slip up. But if we go back to God, he's, you know, quick to forgive us. And that's an example where we can look at that and say, you know, not that we should be slipping up, but.
That's right. All right, well, thank you, folks.
Thank you.